Residential Protection Specialist, Lighting Specialist, Arc Residential Tech.
Welcome to Residential Tech Talks. I'm Jeremy Glowacki, Executive Editor of Residential Tech Today. On this week's podcast, Ken Johnson joins us from Chicago, where he's owner and president of Premier Systems, a home integration firm of 50 employees serving the Chicago, Illinois, and Naples, Florida markets. Premier Systems and Bozeman, Montana-based SAV Digital Environments earlier this month completed their acquisition of Accentials in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and the launch of a new firm called Premier SAV to better serve the ever-expanding needs of clients in that area of the country. Mergers and acquisitions in the CEDIA channel always piqued my interest, so I thought I'd have Ken on the podcast to tell us how this particular partnership came together and to learn a little bit more about his 27 years running his own company. Ken Johnson, thanks for joining us today. Congratulations on the new venture. I wanted to call it an adventure, but it's an adventure. Maybe both.
So far, it's been both.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you. Now we're excited.
Well, that's great to hear. I would imagine you would be. And unlike many of my guests, you and I have never met prior to starting the podcast here. So I definitely want to learn more about you and your company and your career path. But the news of the day is the acquisition and the new joint venture. So if you could kind of walk us through your maybe relationship with your partner in this acquisition, Corey Reistad of SAV, how you guys got comfortable enough to go into a partnership like this. Maybe it would be a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So it all kind of started with a couple projects that we were doing in that market. And during that process, I was asked, I had to interview a couple companies in the area to find some local support, because these were really large projects and we didn't want to do them entirely remotely. Besides, we wanted to make sure that our customer had the best support by local people. So anyway, I interviewed some of the firms in the area, and ultimately, you know, during that process, was advised by one of our vendor partners that Accentuals might be interested in selling their branch. So the thought occurred to me, you know, that this might be a good growth pattern for Premier. And it just so happens that I belong to an organization called the Guild, and that's how I know Corey from the Guild. And SAV is also a partner with this organization. And it's the Guild, if you're not familiar with it, it's a group of 12 companies that are more mature in the industry. Generally speaking, we're not in competing markets, and as such, we share everything, best practices, standards, even our financial data is all shared within the group. It's not a buying group. It's not a roll-up opportunity, but rather it's a group of like-minded companies who want to share what they have and grow in the process. So anyway, in the midst of that, I had started a friendship with Corey, and knowing his firm was kind of a good fit with ours, culturally speaking, and in terms of strengths and so forth, I thought, why not see if Corey was interested in going in together on this as a joint partnership, if you will. And he liked the idea, so here we are today.
So you're in this, you've been running Premier, and we'll get into the career path later, but for about 27 years, and it looks like Accentuals is a 30-year company. Is that correct? And how long Corey been in business?
A similar number of years.
So very similar length of time, those three companies. I didn't have the information on who the owner of Accentuals had been prior to the acquisition, but is this someone who you had met personally, or you just heard about the company in general, or what was the relationship?
So when I was interviewing local companies, I got to meet them.
Okay.
For this one, especially one very large project. And during that process, since we had the interview, I was already in touch with them based on that.
Okay.
And then our vendor partner kind of knocked on my door and said, hey, they might be interested in selling this branch because this is not their primary branch.
Oh, I see. Right.
And would you be interested? And that's kind of how it all kicked off there.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit more logical. It was like, hey, we called them up to see if we could have them work locally. And they're like, please buy our company.
right. Cut exactly that way.
right.
And we were excited because they had a really strong staff of people, really great people already there. And in that market especially, I mean, there's a ton of opportunity, but it's really hard to, it's such an expensive area to live in that it's really hard to get a staff together. You know, it's not exactly like a big city where, you know, you can have a bigger choice of people to hire and so forth.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it was really important to retain the staff there and get to know everyone there, which I've had the pleasure of doing. So that's been just a great part of all this.
Yeah, and you run a relatively large operation between your two locations for Premier.
We're actually up to 65 now.
65, wow, okay.
Yeah, so it's been growing. And we have both fully staffed operations in Florida and in Chicago. So we feel it's really important to have people on the ground, a dedicated staff, and not do as little as possible of remote work. It's the best way to support your customers and our belief.
I noticed some of your portfolio pictures on your Premier website, and being in the Chicago metropolitan area, a lot of high-rise type installations that it seems like you've showcased at least. And then down in Florida, it looks like large single family, but also some other beachfront type places that are similar to what you do in Chicago. Are you finding that those homeowners are having vacation homes in the West, that's the opportunity that you see where you'll have opportunity to service them there? Or is it just another way to branch out into a different region of the country entirely?
It's funny because we're in Chicago and our primary office in Florida is in Naples, although we have an East Florida branch as well. But it almost seems like it's a triangle between Jackson, Chicago, and South Florida. It's remarkable how many of our customers have properties in all three markets.
Okay.
So that was another nice thing to see. And it's such an easy trip to Jackson. It's a 2.5-hour flight. So I think it attracts our clientele that we're already doing business with.
Well, it's a beautiful area of the country, and any excuse to go there if you're a skier or even in the summer, it's just fresh air and beautiful mountain vistas there. It's one of the great places in the country for sure. So not a bad place to have a branch of your operation for sure. So I noticed in the information I learned about your two companies coming together, you're both very much into philanthropy as well. And to note that in a press release to me stands out that it's important enough to state those two things. And how much of that goes into your partnership, just the fact that you both companies coming together here have a global kind of focus in terms of social responsibility and that sort of thing?
You know, it's, I guess the best way to put it is it seems like our two companies have such a great cultural fit, very focused not only on philanthropy, but also on relationships, with our staff, with our customers. We're really a relationship-based companies. We think about the long-term view of everything that we do. And, you know, that just made us as two organizations fit very well. In fact, it's amazing seeing our two staffs work together to get this deal done and to assemble the transition and so forth. It's been a dream, to be honest. You know, as challenging as it is to do that, the two groups of people have been really just stepping up in so many ways and with a great caring approach to things. So, I think it would be very difficult to do this kind of partnership if you didn't have a good cultural overlap, so to speak.
And not to get too into the weeds of the operational side of things, but I'm sure that some of our audience would love to know how you do this kind of a partnership with a third entity. Does the company that you acquired that's under a new name, does it have a general manager already in place or some point person that is sort of in charge of that local operation?
Yeah, that was critical. That was probably one of the first things that Corey and I agreed to was in order for this to work, we needed to have a really strong general manager in that market, because that makes all the difference in terms of staying connected to the staff as a whole. We've always found that, you know, if you've got ownership, you know, not living in the same market as where you're doing business, you need to have somebody who the staff trusts and can reach out to, who can really kind of oversee the whole development of that team. And so having that person there, which we do have, was absolutely critical to doing it. Without that, then one of us would have to, you know, move there and, yeah, you know, it'd be much more difficult.
And just a little bit more detail on the operation. So you, as the guild members, you share financials and best practices and all of that. So you acquire this third entity, you've got your general manager in place. So then do you apply certain financial systems or operational structure from one of your companies? Are you both doing the same kind of operation where you just say, we agree that this is the best practice, so here's the new operating methodology or whatever you want to call it there at the third location? Or how does one decide what to do in that regard? Are you investors, co-investors in an existing kind of company as it's already being run? I'm trying to just kind of get my brain around it.
Well, we're really starting a new company,
okay,
but hiring, you know, in essence, hiring the staff that was existing, keeping the location, and ultimately doing all new software so that we can have, you know, the correct visibility and the correct standards in terms of how things are processed. So we agreed to a software platform to be used with this new company. And then we're in the process of training the local staff to use it. And, you know, there's a lot to do. So, you know, and we're just getting started. So it's going to be a long haul, if you will, to get everyone following the same standards, using the same updated software. And our goal was to not jump in there and do it all, you know, snap your fingers and do it all at once, but rather kind of come up with a transition plan that focused initially more on just getting our arms around the projects that are currently going on, mm-hmm, and how to support the local staff best in finishing those well, and then ultimately start getting in, you know, training going for the software side of it.
And so I find that companies that get along really well are typically using similar vendors as well. Are you, yeah, and Corey in alignment on a lot of your top brands then?
Almost 100%, yeah.
And what would you say some of those would be, from control systems to audio to video? What would some of those top names be for your companies?
Sure. You know, the brands I would say that are really big for both of us would include Lutron, On the control side, it would be Savant and Crestron. On the, you know, we're both Sonance James dealers. That's, you know, a huge part of what we're doing, you know, from an architectural speaker standpoint, AV side. But, you know, being in the guild also just means that, you know, we've seen, you know, as you go through the line, there's very few lines that we don't share a priority for, but those are some of the bigger volume ones that we do.
Yeah, no, that gives me a great sense of the types of,
We're also both, Steinway Lingdorf dealers. Mm-hmm. So that's been, you know, for the high end audio stuff, that's been kind of our primary focus there.
Sure. Yeah, that's a big one. Well, after the break, we will continue our conversation with Ken Johnson and learn a little bit about what he was like as a kid and when the interest in tech started to develop.
Do you want superior smart home automation at a great value? Shelly Wi-Fi relays by Alterco Robotics cover DC to line voltage, allowing you to control lights, outlets, appliances, garage doors, pumps, and much more. There are Shelly sensors and power measurement devices to help you measure temperature, humidity, lux, or motion, and electrical consumption from single wire to three phase with neutral. You can use Shelly with a licensed driver for Control 4, Elon, or other premium systems, as well as your customer's existing hub, voice assistant, or any platform that accepts REST, MQTT, or CoAP. Shelly can make IoT very easy. Available now at Blackwire, City Electric Supply, and Worthington, or at ShellyUSA.com.
Welcome back. We're talking with Ken Johnson, the owner and president of Premier Systems in Chicago and Naples, Florida. Going back in time, Ken, what early in life interests sort of hinted at the career path you're on now? Were you ever kind of a techie kid or interested in taking things apart, putting things back together growing up?
You know, initially my focus actually was in the area of biology. I was a pre-med bio major in college, and I wouldn't trade that for the world. I had such a great experience learning all that. But ultimately, I also had experience on the business side. My family owned a machining business, and I was part of that early on. And during college years, I got hooked on high-end audio and actually started a small business while in college, building custom equipment stands for high-end gear. Hmm. So I was kind of hired as a kind of industrial designer, if you will, by a couple companies to do some prototypes and so forth. And I don't know, I just started playing around with it very early on, and especially in the college years. And then ultimately after I graduated, I thought, you know, I wanted to get into this business. At the time, of course, you know, it wasn't really as sophisticated as today in terms of all the different disciplines that we currently represent. I was really more focused on music, high-end audio. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got started in the industry. Ultimately, it grew from there. And I always had a passion for music and listening rooms and designing those. But then ultimately, we layered on everything else that is common to represent today. And, you know, that's how it happened.
So did you go right out of college into starting your own business, or did you work for anyone else?
Okay. I worked for another company and kind of learned from the ground up by some very veteran audio guys, if you will. And they taught me the ropes. And back then, things were kind of more of a retail type of experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I discovered in the process of doing that for about 6 years before I opened Premier, I discovered in that process that a lot of my relationships were coming from architects and, you know, trade professionals. So, you know, just sitting around waiting for somebody to come in off the street and buy a pair of speakers for some reason didn't seem as exciting or efficient to me as having a relationship with somebody who could send me customers. So, right. I started branching out in that way and kind of getting out of the retail mindset and more into the custom side of it and the relationships that kind of promote that.
And you've evolved, obviously, to tackle all the disciplines that there are. What are your, I think you look at a metropolitan area like Chicago, New York, Miami, Los Angeles, there's different types of, obviously, caliber projects, higher end opportunities, perhaps more money in big cities. Also just unique applications where you may be in a high rise where someone in a more suburban area may not have that challenge. But can you say, when you compare notes with your guild colleagues, how maybe your company, especially in Chicago, might operate a little differently in the types of challenges you face being in a metropolitan area, dealing with high-rise buildings, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, actually, our business in Chicago used to be more focused on the high-rise, and we continue to do a lot of high-rise work, but it's about 50-50 now.
Okay.
So we're doing a lot on the North Shore, which is kind of a hotbed, if you will, of people building homes right on Lake Michigan. And, you know, there's just incredible single family homes being built there. Lincoln Park, of course, is a big single family home area in Chicago that where the quality and, you know, the homes is really high. So it's a combination of, you know, basically where anyone's building something that is over a certain amount of dollars per square foot and they're, you know, interested in, you know, nicer custom things in the home. That's where we tend to be drawn into it. There's a lot of markets in the Chicago area where there's a building going on, but maybe not as high end. And therefore, you know, we're kind of more focused on the high end market, I guess.
Okay. And I saw a picture on your website of your, I guess your showroom, is it there in you're really not too far from like Wrigley Field area, correct? And Lincoln Park is not too far away from there.
Yeah, no, it's pretty close. And we bought that building a couple of years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic. And it actually turned out to be a pretty good thing in that, when we first bought the building, we had a lot of renovations and a lot of build out that we wanted to do. And we thought, how are we going to do this with everyone working out of here? And then, of course, the pandemic happens and everyone goes to working from home for 2 years, basically. And it gave us an opportunity to really build it out and, bring it up to a certain level. So that's been an exciting process to do that.
Yeah, just for the limited visibility of what you have there. I didn't get any interior shots, but from the exterior, it looks amazing. It looks very Chicago to me. It's hard to say what that means, but it looks like a city with some character, as opposed to just like a building off on a suburban strip mall or something like that. You've got
it's a really cool Bow Truss building, which is architecture that was, from the early 1900s. They would have these as factory buildings, mm-hmm. and they're pretty sought after if you can find them in decent condition. And they call it a bow truss because the roof is almost like a bow of a boat. You know, a big curved ceiling, and it's real. When you walk into it, anyone that walks into it says, "Wow!" You know, it's just amazing. So we've built it out with showroom space, offices, conference rooms, training areas, a huge warehouse. It's about a 15,000 square foot facility that we're really, it was a big investment on our part and really exciting to get a building like that.
And one of the things I always like to ask integration company owners is observations on product trends. We've talked about some of your brands. Are you exploring some of the newer categories, like doing lighting fixture sales and installation, or even some of the health and wellness trends, that whether it's the way you do lighting or even some of the other areas, which I think are a little, we're a little too early for like working with ventilation systems and things like that. But any of those new trends kind of affecting your business right now?
Yeah. In fact, we just had 10 of our staff at the HTSA training for lighting. And I think the big emphasis there was getting, so we had 10 people getting trained on how to present lighting design, how to sell fixtures, how to design solutions that kind of differentiate us and so forth. So that was really exciting. In fact, we have a new salesperson that is focusing exclusively on basically fixture and lighting sales. So it's, yeah, there's no doubt that that is a big, going to be a bigger and bigger component to what we're doing. And, you know, we used to be like, considered to be like the AV guys, right? and now it's so much more than that. In fact, AV can be just a relatively small percentage on certain projects where the emphasis might be more on lighting or security, you know, other technologies that people want. So yeah. our whole approach is that, you know, we want to figure out what's important to the client and then make sure that we focus on that.
I did notice on your website, you said you have a big emphasis on that security as well. And it's not what you would think in terms of security systems. It's the whole message of homeowner client security, whether it's IT or the actual physical structure. So I thought that was a really well framed angle there. And obviously it's an area of interest and emphasis for your client.
Yeah, so much more than just burglar systems.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing physical security like doors and windows. You know, we represent a company called FBS that does incredible products for that physical side of the security end of things. And then we have a trained staff who is experienced in all the different life safety, burglar alarm, cybersecurity. I mean, all of those different elements have just continued to increase in terms of our priority and our customers' priority. So I'm really glad that we started in that market as early as we did. I think, you know, we started doing security work, got licensed about 10 years ago. And at that time, maybe it seemed questionable, is this really something we should do? Or should we just let security companies kind of do their thing? And, you know, we would do the AV and then they'd come in and do the alarm and you're done, right? But generally speaking, I'm really glad that we focused in this because especially on the higher end projects, there is an added interest in security, and we're able to offer expertise that really overlaps and kind of integrates with the whole house approach.
Yeah, anywhere that you can be the trusted advisor on technology of any kind in the home, I guess is beneficial to your client to know that you're the one point person that they can trust and work with. And if you control it somehow, then like that's the message from the lighting, right? If you have to control it, you want it to work right or you get blamed for it. So
right.
It's great to have that insight and control and knowledge about it. So the other topic obviously is supply chain right now. Are you facing challenges with product availability of any kind? I it's kind of a dumb question because everybody says yes, but
yeah.
How are you dealing with that?
It's a big challenge. I will say that being part of the Guild organization has helped because, you know, I was just talking with one of my Guild associates this morning and they said, hey, I should go shop the Guild for that, for that part. And, it's solved some problems for us, you know, where we desperately needed this or that and somebody had one and, you know, but it is an issue for everybody. And it's a significant issue. In some cases, it's just meaning that lead times are a few months longer.
Right.
In other cases, it's really pushing the outside envelope of what, you know, what clients are going to live with. But fortunately, I guess it's affecting everybody. So it's not like my competitors have a full, you know, a full warehouse of things, you know, that, you know, everyone's kind of dealing with the same problem. So I think customers are starting to become accepting of the lead times.
Yeah, I have a neighbor who's doing a single renovation in their home. It's a master bath, and asked him how long the project was going to be out of curiosity. And I was kind of thinking 6 weeks. I don't know if that's even a reasonable time in normal times, but he said 12 weeks because of supply chain. And the contractor basically just said, we're going to get started on what we can do. And right. we'll keep working as we receive things that we need to install. And I guess that's the way it works. And everyone just knows that things take longer and you may not get your first choice, at least timing wise. If you want to wait for it, you can wait for it. But yeah, everybody's in the same boat right now.
Pretty much. Yeah. And there doesn't seem to be any end to it.
Well, I hate to end on supply chain. It's such a dull right. topic, but I do congratulate you on the new venture and adventure out west, and hope you get to enjoy Jackson Hole a little bit, as well as having a successful operation there too.
Thank you. I really have enjoyed it. It's one of the most beautiful places in the U.S. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Ken, best of luck for that and the rest of 2022. And thanks for taking the time out to chat with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Ken Johnson is owner and president of Chicago-based home integration company, Premier Systems. You can learn more about his company at premiersystems.com and their business partner, SAV Digital Environments, at savinc.net. The new website for their joint venture in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, can be found at premiersav.com. That wraps up today's show. If you're new to Residential Tech Talks, please subscribe to the weekly podcast on your preferred platform and consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out all the latest residential tech news at the magazine's website, restechtoday.com, where you can also subscribe to the bi-monthly print and digital magazine and to our Tuesday and Friday email newsletters. Until next time, please stay safe, stay inspired, and let us know if you have a great story to tell.
Residential Tech Talks, lighting specialist, Residential Tech Talks, home automation, smart device, home or smart house.